In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Volume 34, May 31st, 1936. Oh, how my public life symbolizes the triumph of the kingdom of my fiat in the midst of creatures, that with surprising truths I shall make known. So here Jesus says that what he did for 3 years, talking about the kingdom in his public life, he's going to do again. It symbolizes what God is going to do. And he says this, and in order to have the intent, I shall make miracles and prodigies. So when the Lord is ready, and he says he's ready, he's going to make this known. He's going to bring this about. And our response is to embrace this, you know, to begin to live this life that Jesus says he's going to bring about. He says, with the power of my volition, I shall recall to life those dead to grace. So here, God is going to show his strength, show his power. So with the power of his holy divine will, I'm going to recall to life, bring back to life those that are dead to grace. I shall repeat the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus, that even though they have putrefied an evil, rendering stinking cadavers like Lazarus, my fiat shall recall them to life. It shall stop the stench of sin, and it shall make them rise again in good. So here's the promise of Jesus. All of us have to go to confession. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I have thought, this is what I've said, this is what I have done, this is what I have failed to do. Each week we go to confession, showing in humility our sinfulness, and asking the priest for absolution. Jesus says he is going to stop this stench of sin. Is this like he brought Lazarus back from the dead? He says, I'm going to recall everyone back to this life. So we look at our body now, and it says, Scripture says it's food for worms. We get old, wrinkled, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. And that's not, it's never been part of God's plan. God is going to recall us to this abundant life. How? In this great gift of the Holy Divine Will. This is why he saved the best for last. We have learned over the last 2,000 years how to pray the prayers of the saints. And now Jesus is going to teach us how to pray in the divine will, how to pray with the prayer that Jesus prayed, that Mary prayed. I shall repeat the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus, that as though they have been putrefied in evil, rendering stinking cadavers like Lazarus, my divine fiat shall recall them to life. It shall stop the stench of sin. And I shall make them rise again in good. In some, I, God, shall use all my divine industries in order to let my volition dominate in the midst of the people. See, therefore, in my every word that I said and in every miracle that I did, I called my divine will to reign in their midst. I called the people to live in the divine will. So we see that in all the sake of Scripture, everything that Jesus did was to get everyone ready for the kingdom of the divine will, for us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, from my public life, I pass to the passion, symbol of the passion of my divine will, that for so many centuries had suffered so many rebellious human wills of the creature, that by not wanting to submit themselves to the divine will, they had closed heaven. They had broken the communications with their creator. They were rendered unhappy slaves of the infernal enemy. So we see that for 4,000 years, we were slaves to the devil. And Jesus came to redeem us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ and freed us from the bonds of Satan. My lacerated humanity sought death. My crucified, it represented before the divine justice, the unhappy humanity without my holy divine will. So again, we want to have our human will crucified with Christ. This becomes our divine mirror. We look at Jesus Christ crucified, and what is crucified with Christ? Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. This is what God is longing for us to do, to have this human misery one with Christ crucified. And the consequences of that is peace, joy, and happiness. He says very clearly, this is crucified, represented before the divine justice, the unhappy humanity without my holy divine will. In every suffering, I called my fiat to give the kiss of peace with creatures in order to render them happy, and I called them into the divine will in order to make the sorrowful passion of my divine will cease. Finally, death that matured my resurrection, that called everyone to rise again in my divine fiat, and oh, how my divine resurrection vividly symbolized the kingdom of my divine will. So here, the crucifixion, death, and now resurrection. He says, I have called everyone to rise again. To what? To live in his holy divine will. And oh, how the resurrection vividly symbolized the kingdom of my divine will. My holy humanity, wounded, deformed, and unrecognizable, rose again, healthy and with an enchanting beauty, glorious and triumphant. It prepared the triumph of the glory to my divine will, causing everyone to come into the divine will, and impetrated that everyone would rise again in my holy divine will from the dead to the living, from ugly to beautiful, from unhappy to happy. See, and again, this is, you know, we love the saints. We love what the saints have taught us. And now Jesus is teaching us how not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to be living, to be beautiful, to be happy, as God originally planned us to be. My arisen humanity assured the kingdom of my divine will on earth, and it was my unique act, full of triumph, full of victory. And this was befitting me, God, because I did not want to depart for heaven if first I, God, had not given everyone the helps given all to the creatures in order to let them re-enter into the kingdom of my volition. And all the glory, all the honor, all the triumphs to my supreme fiat, in order to let it dominate and reign again on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. See, we're supposed to live in the kingdom. And this is why, you know, John Paul II gave us the luminous mysteries to help us understand that the third luminous mystery is the proclamation of the kingdom. Everything that Jesus did, said, and done in his public life was to prepare the world for the kingdom. Therefore, unite yourself with me, Jesus, and let it be that there is no act that you do and suffering that you suffer that you do not call my divine will to take its royal dominating place and as victor conquer everything in order to make the divine will known, make the divine will loved, and make the divine will wanted by everyone. So he says, be attentive. Why are you washing the dishes? He says very clearly, let unite yourself with me and let there be no act that you do that you do not call my divine will to take its royal place. See, it's why are you walking? Why are you having lunch? What, everything should be so that the kingdom would be established on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 34, 12, 20, 36. Now, my daughter Louisa, listen to another prodigy of our divine fiat in Mary, the Blessed Mother, the celestial creature, and how Mary loved us, and how Mary rendered her maternity extendable to all creatures. In every act that Our Lady did, if she loved, if she prayed, if she adored, if she suffered, everything, even her breath, her heartbeat, the steps that she made, were done in our fiat. They were triumphs and victories of our Supreme Being made in the acts of the Virgin Mary. The Celestial Lady triumphed and conquered God, and conquered in God. In every instant of her admirable and prestigious life, they were triumphs and victories between God and the Virgin Mary. So here's this competition. Every heartbeat, she would say, I love you. And God would say, with every heartbeat, I love you. Every breath, God would breathe into her, I love you. And she would breathe out, I love you. Everything was a triumph. Everything was a victory between God and Mary. But this is nothing. Acting as true mother, Our Lady called all her children. And Our Lady conceived and hid all their acts in hers. And Our Lady covered them with her triumphs and with her victories, and giving all her acts as dowry with her victories and triumphs, and then with a tenderness and a love as to break the hearts and feel ourselves conquered, she told us, Triune God, adorable majesty, look at my children. They are all my children. My victories and triumphs are all my children. They are my conquests that I give to them. And if the mama has conquered and triumphed, then the children also have conquered and triumphed. You see why it's so important to consecrate our families to Our Lady, ourselves and our families. A lot of times in our families, the children go away from Christ in the church, and they begin to live lives of the world, the flesh and the devil. But if you have consecrated your children, you can always go back to the Blessed Mother and say, they're yours, they're your children, more than they are mine. And, you know, I'm concerned about their livelihoods, their life, and would you bring them back to Jesus and the church? And Our Lady would say, good, I will do that. See, we have to surrender to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. When we're consecrated to Jesus and Mary, how glorious that is. And so many triumphs and victories Our Lady did in God, for however many acts all creatures would have done, such that all can say, I am provided with a dowry by the acts of the Blessed Mother, my Queen and Mother, for the seal of her dowry, that Our Lady has invested them for me with her triumphs and victories Our Lady has made with her Creator. In fact, one who wants to make himself holy finds the dowry of his celestial mother and her triumphs and victories in order to arrive at the greatest sanctity. The weak ones find the strength of the sanctity of this mama, of his mama, and her triumphs in order to be strong. The afflicted one, the suffering one, finds the gift of the sufferings of Mary, his celestial mama, in order to obtain the triumph, the victory of the resignation. The sinner finds the victory and triumph of pardon through the Blessed Mother. In sum, everyone finds in Mary, the Sovereign Queen, the dowry, the support, the help for the state in which they find themselves. And oh, how beautiful it is. It is the most moving scene, enrapturing and enchanting to see Mary, the Celestial Mother, in every creature, and that Our Lady acts as Mama. We, Triune God, feel that Our Lady loves and prays in her children. And this is the greatest prodigy among heaven and earth, the greatest good that we, Triune God, could not give to the creatures. So here he's saying, you know, he has given us a mother. Again, for us, it's mostly our third mother. We have our natural mother. We have Mary, Mother, Queen, Mother of heaven and earth, of all the children of heaven and earth. And now he gives us a third mother, Luisa, who becomes the little mother of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Our God wants us to have a mother. And he knows that this mother will love us to the point that she will say to God, they are mine, and I want them in heaven with me. So again, do not be overly saddened by what's happening. It's a terrible thing that's happening to the children. Yet, if you have consecrated your children to the Blessed Mother, if you have consecrated your parish, your world, your home, your job, your everything to the Blessed Mother, there is nothing to worry about. Volume 34, 1-4-37. So my daughter Luisa, be attentive. And again, that's what our God is saying to us. We must be attentive. You know, why are you swimming? You know, why are you dancing? You know, be attentive to what is the reason for this. And if we are true to what Jesus and Mary have taught us through Luisa, it's to pray for the kingdom of God to be established on earth as it is in heaven, and everything that we think, say, and do. So Jesus says, be attentive. Think that every act of yours is dependent on a divine will that envelops it, forms it, and gives it life. So again, this truth is for us. You know, think that everything, every step that you make, every eye blink that you have, everything that you think, say, and do is dependent on a divine will that envelops it, that forms it, and gives it life. See, we have to truly begin to live heaven on earth through these teachings from the Book of Heaven. Our Lord and Our Lady have taught Luisa very well. In obedience, she has written everything down for us. And as she has memorized everything, we also have memorized everything. So, if you want to think of one thing in Volume 34, be attentive. make sure that every act of yours is dependent on a divine will that envelops it, forms it, and gives it life. That little phrase there will have you have a beginning of a love for volume 34. And because it loves you, it wants that you know the life that it gives you. And as confirmation of its acts in you, therefore content yourself with dying rather than hindering this wanted, even from the beginning of your existence, this wanted act of my divine will. So here Jesus is showing us how to live, to want to live in the divine will. How beautiful it is able to be to say, I am divine will of God because it has done everything in me. How beautiful it is to be able to say, I am divine will of God. This is the divine will. This act that I'm doing is the divine will of God. Because the divine will has done everything in me. The divine will has created me. The divine will has formed me. The divine will shall carry me in its arms of light into the celestial regions as victor and as triumph of the omnipotent fiat of God's love. That's a beautiful prayer that Luis has prayed, and Jesus is asking us to pray this prayer with her. I am divine will of God because it has done everything in me. God has created and has formed me. It shall carry me in its arms of light into the celestial regions as victory and triumph of the omnipotent fiat of his love. After this, my mind continued to swim in this ocean, the sea of the fiat. I know how beautiful it was to see it, that it was attentive, such that as I breathed, as I palpitated, as I loved, so the divine will invested my breath in order to form its divine breath, in my heartbeat to form its divine heartbeat over my little love, so the divine will forms the sea of love, the ocean of love, and was delighted so much that with anxiety, the divine will waited for my little human acts in order to form its divine labor. So here we see why God created us. This paragraph here, to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, is very powerful. Again, if you can't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you can go to your computer and you go to savior.org, and there's the Blessed Sacrament, and you can look at Jesus. And he can look at you, and you can enter into this prayer. And my beloved Jesus, celebrating the triumph, the labor of the fiat in my little soul, in all goodness, Jesus told me, my daughter of my volition, how I, God, enjoy in seeing that the divine will puts of its own in the act of the soul. Now here, this is the divine mirror of Jesus. This is what it means to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. And since her act is little, the soul delights herself with losing it in its great act and has no limits. And as triumphant, it says, I have conquered. The victory is mine. Here is to participate in God's image and likeness. And I, in every act of the divine will, in her, I make my feast. And now you must know that so much is the pleasure of our Supreme Being in seeing lost in the little human act, lost and identified as if it would have its lost its life in order to give divine life of ours, that we elevate this act, we try and God call our act in the heights of our eternal act. So here Jesus says, with your heartbeat, you lose your human heartbeat in God's holy divine will heartbeat. And he says that he takes this lost act, this sacrificial act, and transforms it into divine act, an eternal act. So your heartbeat becomes the heartbeat of God. You let Jesus beat in your heart beating. You let Jesus breathe in your breathing. You let Jesus walk in your walking. You really begin to participate in this triumph, where God is triumphant in the soul. There's no rebellion. There's total surrender, total docility, total submission to God. So he says, you must know this. This is a command from Jesus. how much all eternity makes its round and surrounds this little act of the soul. And everything that has been done and shall be done in its round identifies with this act in the way that all eternity belongs to this little act, because it becomes a divine act. Jesus, come beat in my heart beating. Jesus, come walk in my walking. Jesus, come blink in my blinking. It's a whole new beginning that God is bringing about. And he's asking us to participate in this. This is the glory that our God wants us to possess. This is not found in the saints. The saints did not live in the divine will. They did the will of God. And I know there's people out there that say that there's many souls living in the divine will. That just shows you very clearly that they have not read all 36 volumes. It's very clear that when you read all 36 volumes, there is only one who has done this. Since Jesus and Mary, there's only one human that has done this since Adam. And that is Louisa. This is why Louisa is the newborn, the firstborn. This is why our God is asking us, pleading with us, to allow this little one to become our mother. He says, have an unsevered umbilical cord to the womb of Louisa. He wants us to receive all this life that was breathed into Louisa. Every time he gave a truth, it was like a little puff of life that, as we begin to read this, to study this, to put this into practice, he begins to expand our capacity. Every word, Jesus said, is a divine life that I breathe into the soul. So as we read these words, God expands our capacity. He begins to reign in us in the way that he originally planned with Adam and all Adam's children. And since Adam fell, Jesus and Mary had to come to earth to redeem mankind. Our Lady co-redeemed with Jesus. And what has happened at this point is it's a new beginning for man. So what do we see? We see the saints for the last 2,000 years, great and powerful saints, many miracles through their sacrifice, through their prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. And now Jesus says, now is the time for a new beginning to happen for Christ and his church. And it's to begin to live this abundant life where God is breathing in the soul's breathing. God is reigning in the soul's reigning. How glorious is this, that our God wants us to participate in him. To be in God's image and likeness is why Jesus came to earth. He started the Catholic faith, the universal life, because that's the life that Adam lost. Adam lost that universal life through unfaithfulness and disobedience. So he asks us to be faithful to the church, obedient to the church. And you can tell very clearly what is of the church and not of the church. A lot of Catholics have gone the way of the world. Because of that, we are living lives that I think are very unfortunate at this time, where even the children have no heroes. I mean, they have comic book heroes, but they have no heroes. A great hero is John Paul II. A great hero is Mother Teresa. Great heroes are when you read the lives of the saints. Yet, unfortunately, we are in a time where the world is more important than God. And again, how sad that is. We are called to repair, redo. And this is the whole reason for the divine will. As you begin to repair and redo, he says that when you do your rounds, and everything that you think, say, and do, everything, he says, shall be done in its rounds, identified with that act that you're doing in a way that all eternity is being repaired. Everything is being redone. Again, that's the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. So when we see something on television or in the newspaper, some horrendous thing that's going on, some horrible, despicable things, we say to the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, that this has happened to you. I want to repair this, not only this situation, but all situations, past, present, and future, as if none of this ever occurred. None of this was ever against you. None of this ever was ever, none of this rebellion has happened. And I want to repair in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job. Our job is to learn how to pray, to learn how to live. And this is why this triumph is so important for us. We will participate in this triumph if we're linked to Louisa. Jesus tells us this. He's going to do it. But he says, I want to give what I gave to Louisa to everyone who wants it. And if we want this life, he's going to give it to us. Vime 35, 9, 26, 37. Blessed daughter Louisa, it is our divinity that possesses, by nature, the desire of always giving. God is gratuitous. Giving, 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 giving. Every leaf on a tree is an I love you. Every blade of grass is an I love you. Every drop of water is an I love you. And he says, I want you to reciprocate that I love you back. Every breath is an I love you. Every heartbeat is an I love you. And I would like you to give this back as an I love you back to God. It's that competition with God. You breathe in, it's an I love you from God. You breathe out, it's an I love you back to God. But not in a human way. It's to give back to God what is God's. To give back a divine I love you. As you possess your breathing and breathe continuously, if you didn't want to, we try and God possess the continuous act of always giving. So he says, you know, you're breathing, but if you didn't want to, you know, give back this I love you, we, Triune God, continually gives you an I love you. And so our life is to be a reflection of God. That's what Volume 1 through Volume 10 is all about, to become a divine mirror of Jesus, to truly become a saint. Volume 11 through Volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Volume 20 through Volume 36 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is the life that our God is giving to us. And even if the creature ungrateful does not want what we give, though still remaining around us, to praise the perfection, the goodness, the sanctity, and the generosity of our Supreme Being, we keep waiting with a divine patience that only we, Triune God, can have for those souls who might take what others have rejected as the triumph of our love towards the soul. So, like I said, we pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, and we give back to God what is God's. How glorious is this? He says, we are waiting with divine patience for the souls who must live in the divine will. That's us. We must live in the divine will. This is what our God is looking for. You know, it's everybody says they love Jesus, they love God, and that's glorious, that's good. But we have to have the fear of the Lord as well. If we don't fear the Lord, if we're not afraid to sin, what happens at that point is we don't live in humility. When Peter fell to the feet of Jesus after the catch of fish and says, Lord, leave me. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinful man. Then Jesus says, good. You now have the fear of the Lord in you. You know that I am God. I alone am holy and you are a sinner. That's why we go to confession. To understand that to be a friend of God's, you have to have the fear of the Lord. You can say you love Jesus. I know many people that love Jesus continue to sin serious sins. And that's the reason they continue to sin is they do not fear the Lord. They're not afraid of sinning. And so our God is asking us, would you be willing to do what I'm asking you to do and to be afraid to live in your human will, to be terrified to live in your human will. So this is what God is waiting for. He needs souls to want to begin to live this abundant life. And that, hopefully that's us. So he says, I want you to see how horrible, how miserable the human will is. And if we go to confession each week, we know how miserable our human will is. And God is asking us, pleading with us, come, become my friend by being terrified to live in your human will. So we use our free will to choose to only live in God's holy divine will. And that's why he says, with divine patience, we are waiting those creatures who might take what all the other souls have rejected and as triumph of our love towards the creature begin to live in the divine will. Okay, the way to live in the divine will is to be have the fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. To have the fear of God. Again, not to be terrified of God. We say we love him. Yes, we do love Jesus. But he is the Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He's our God. He's our all. And therefore, we are terrified to leave the human will. To leave the divine will and enter into the human will again. We do not want to do that. He says that our love is such that we adapt ourselves to the souls, giving them little by little, because being small, the creature cannot take what we, Triune God, want to give altogether. So again, little by little, as we read, as we study, breath by breath, he breathes into us to expand our capacity. He doesn't breathe into us completely as he did as Adam all at once. He breathes into us little by little because we are in the frail human nature. So the more that you're reading, the more you're studying, the more that you're putting into practice, the more you are in fear of the Lord. And that's when you become a friend of God. That's when, you know, we truly become little children of the holy divine will. But our love must be continuous. We would feel as if we were fainting and losing our breath if we did not continuously give. Our divine will wants to be the life of the soul, the greatest act, the most exuberant love that only a God can do. He wants his holy divine will to be our life that only a God can do. Now, in order to be possessor of by her, our divine will donates to the soul its virtue of prayer, and the soul takes the lead to confirm the gift, making all created things pray. We pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Okay, so we're learning how to pray the way God prays. Jesus prayed and Mary prayed. The soul imposes herself on our love, on our power, on our goodness, making our love, power, and goodness pray with the soul, united with the soul. And all our attributes pray, even our divine justice, our divine mercy, and fortitude turn into prayer. No one can miss this. Whenever our divine will wants us to do an act or to give a gift, we, Triune God, all bend our knees to do what the divine will wants. And when all have prayed, even our very divine attributes, we, Triune God, confirm the gift. See, we're going to learn how to pray the way Jesus prayed and Mary prayed. We're going to learn how to command. Remember what he said? Jesus said, Adam did not have to pray. There was no need to pray. What God is going to teach us is how to command as he commanded. Not you do this for me, not that kind of a command, but in the name of Jesus, may this be done. You say to that mountain, move, and it must move. You say to that sycamore, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and it must obey you. See, Jesus is going to teach us that as the divine will reigns, the miracles that are going to happen are going to be so amazing, no one will be able to say, this is not of God. Jesus says, she has been given with that gift the right over everything. What couldn't be obtained with this gift of prayer? We, Triune God, can say that the heavens move, that our very divine being feels enthralled and tied to the soul, so it surrenders. Your prayer is answered by just praying it. It's a command prayer. It's not a prayer of the saints. And again, we love the saints, but this gift of prayer, this command prayer, is going to astonish you. This is the new era that's coming. No one possesses this yet. But once God gives this gift out, the miracles that are going to happen through Louisa are going to be astonishing. Because God, it says then, surrenders to that prayer. After the gift of prayer, I move to give her the gift of love. In order to confirm her in love, the soul loves with a love in the sun, the love in the sky, the love in the winds, and even our divine being, so as to acquire the right to love everyone and to be loved by everyone with a new continuous love. And this is the prayer. Oh, if you only knew what it means to be loved by everyone with an ever-growing love, to have the power to love everyone with a new growing love, to be able to say to your God, growing and everything is ever new is your love for me. Growing and ever new is my love for you. This love surpasses the heavens. This love fills the celestial father love, fatherland, and with its waves come to unload themselves into our divine woman. Oh, what wonders happen! All remain astonished. All are glorified by divine volition for such a great gift it gives to the creature. And as we triumph, God, give this great gift, we enlarge her capacity. See what Jesus does? So that she may understand what a gift she has received and use it properly. We can give the soul the gift of inseparability, the union with God, so that the soul arrives to the point of feeling our life more than her own. God becomes for her the actor and spectator, while she remains the bearer of her Creator, living with his very life, living with his very love, living with his very power. With this gift, everything becomes her own. The soul has the right over everyone. And when we, triune God, see that she possesses the divine will, we add the gift of making her triumphant over everyone, triumphant over herself, and even triumphant over God. All is triumphant within her. Triumph of grace, triumph of sanctity, triumph of love. And we call her our winner. We let her win everything because that is our gift for her. And when we give, we want to see the fruits contained in our gift. Therefore, every act she does in our divine will, each word, each work, each step form many different harmonies between her and God. In one more beautiful than the other, in each one more beautiful than the other. She keeps us continuously busy, and our love is such that we surround her from the outside and with all our works while we invest her interior, repeating all our divine acts with which have been bearers of life, the life of the Queen Mother, the life of the Word of God, Jesus Christ on earth, which was a continuous excess of love and gave life to everyone. We, triune God, always give. We, triune God, are never exhausted. The soul who lives in our divine will is the full day of our continuous works, of our divine life, of our palpitating and repeating our divine acts, which are always in action and never cease. See, it's this movement of God. The soul is our triumph. The soul is our winner. Our delirium of love is exactly this. We, triune God, want to be won by the soul. And when the soul wins, our love is unleashed, and our fidgets and delirium of love we find within the soul, and then we rest. That's the seventh day. Volume 36, 4, 20, 38. After this, I continued making my round in all that our Lord did on earth, and I stopped in the act of the resurrection. What triumph, what glory! Heaven poured itself on earth to be spectator of such a great glory. And my beloved Jesus said, my daughter, in my resurrection, the right was given to the creature to rise again in me, to new divine life. It was the confirmation, the seal of my whole life, of my works and of my words. If I, Jesus, came on earth, it was to give to each and every one my own resurrection as their own, to give them divine life, to make them rise again in my own resurrection. But do you want to know where is the real resurrection of the soul? Not at the end of their days, but while she is still living on earth. The one who lives in my holy divine will rises again to light and says, my night is over. That's what God is looking for in each one of us. He wants to hear us say, my night is over. I now live in God's holy divine will. She rises again to love, in the love of her Creator, so that there is no more cold or snow for her, but the smile of the heavenly spring. She rises again to sanctify and puts in rushed flight all weaknesses, all miseries, and all passions. She rises again to all that is of heaven. And if she looks at the earth, heaven or and sun, she does it to find the works of her God, to take the opportunity to narrate to him his glory and his long love story. Therefore, the soul who lives in my holy divine will can say, as the angel said to the holy women on the way to the sepulchre, he is risen. He is not here anymore. The one who lives in my divine will can also say, my human will is not with me any longer. It is risen again in the fiat. See what I'm saying about? Not to give life to your human will. To know the fear of God. Not to give life to your human will. It is no longer here. It is risen in the fiat. And if the circumstances of life, the opportunities of suffering surround the creature as if they were looking for her human will, she can answer, my human will is risen again. It is not in my power anymore. I possess in exchange the divine will, and I want to cover with its light all things around me, all circumstances and all sufferings, to make them like many divine conquests. So the soul who lives in our divine will finds life in the acts of her Jesus. And as always, in this life, she finds our outpouring, our conquering, our triumphant will. She gives us so much glory that heaven cannot contain it. Therefore, live always in our divine will. Never leave the divine will if you want to be our triumph and our glory. Volume 36, 828-38. My daughter Louisa, our love wants to reach the greatest excesses. He wants to save our arm, which is man, and put him back in order at any cost. So this divine order that God wants us to possess. We shall be forced by our love to breathe over him again. See, this is going to be astonishing what God's got ready. To cast away his enemies and ours. So the devil's going to be gone when God breathes on us. We shall cover him again with our divine love, letting our divine life of our majesty, our sanctity, our power, our wisdom enter into him again. To be in God's image and likeness. This is the whole reason for the divine will. This is why God wants you to long for this. Having our creature in this disorder that dishonors us so much, oh no, we shall triumph in man. And the certain sign is that we are manifesting the wonders of our divine will to you, Louisa, as well as how to live in the divine will. He says, this is the certain sign. The sign for us today is the Book of Heaven. If we didn't do so, our power would be altered, and as if we were incapable of saving our work, our very arm, mankind. But this cannot be. It would be as if we were not able to do what we triune God want. And oh, no, no, our love and our divine will shall conquer and shall triumph in everything. Praise be Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. Little Louisa, pray for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.